Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. Well, coming up on today's podcast, we have an interview with the founders of the Signal Ensemble Theater Company. They will be talking to Tom Williams about their latest show, The Weir. Also, we have an audio review of The Weir, and of course, as always, Chicago's theater news. So sit back and relax, and get ready to talk some theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guests this week are the three founding members of Signal Ensemble, who is currently has a terrific production of The Weir by Connor McPherson. So let's have each of you introduce yourselves to our audience.
Ronan Mara, I'm the General Artistic Director.
I'm Joe Stearns, I'm the Managing Artistic Director.
Hi, I'm Christopher Prentice, and I'm the Producing Artistic Director.
Okay, Chris, let me ask you this. This is your directorial debut in The Weir.
That's correct.
So tell us about the play. What can people expect when they come to see the play?
Well, it's basically a storytelling play. It's an Irish play written about 10 years ago, I suppose, by Connor McPherson. And it's basically a new woman moves to town from Dublin, and there are the regulars in this particular bar. And they get the news that she's coming in, and when she does arrive, then they start telling these stories that start kind of innocuously and keep moving through until she ends up telling her own story, which is the creepiest one of all.
So it's an Irish play set in the 1990s.
Right.
In a pub, and they're kind of ghost stories, right?
They are.
Kind of the traditional Irish ghost stories, you might say.
Exactly, and lots of themes that go throughout Irish stories, like ghosts and fairies and death and obviously drinking.
Oh, obviously.
Obviously, we just say obviously.
And Joe, you are a character in the play. Tell us about your character, because you kind of anchor the show.
Yeah, that's right. My character is Brendan, who is the owner of the bar, which all the action takes place in. He's the only one who doesn't tell a story.
That's right.
Although he sort of gets these little sort of, I like to call them sort of Irish haiku moments at the beginning and the end. Just sort of these observations about his place and the place of all his friends in this small town. Like Chris was saying, it's this play is really rooted in the sort of tradition of Irish storytelling.
Who are your other cast members? Because you have a terrific cast.
Oh, yeah,
I must say, one of the things that makes Signal Ensemble step out as one of the better theater companies in Chicago is you guys really know how to cast.
It's been very fortunate, actually, like that. To a man, they're all fantastic. Ted Hurl, John Zinn, Vincent Mahler, and Melanie Keller are all in it and are all fantastic.
And Ronan, how come you sat out one? Because you've been directing most of the play.
Yeah, I've directed most of our shows, not all, but most. But we're trying to bring in, you know, at least once a year with, you know, per season, bring in somebody else to direct them. I can't.
So how did your partner do?
Well, he did a fantastic job, absolutely, as I knew he would, no doubt about it. So yeah, he did excellent. I knew he was ready. We'd been talking about a couple of plays that, a few plays actually that he'd been wanting to do, and this was the one that came up. So
well, I'll tell you. You couldn't have picked better timing, because I was telling some people, they were asking me what one of the best shows in town, and certainly The Weir is. Mm-hmm. And you getting good audiences?
We are.
Yeah?
Yeah. For the first time, we had a sellout. Not the first time, the sellout, but the early in the run last weekend. You know, second week of the run is always kind of difficult once you're waiting for reviews and people to hear about the show. And somehow the word is getting out and people are coming out to see it.
Well, that's terrific. Have you had any reviews from the Irish press?
We had a guy from the Irish American News came, okay. Frank West, and unfortunately that's a monthly publication, so I don't think he's going to be able to review it, but he seemed to like it a lot.
Well, that says a lot. Well, okay, let's get down to it now. Ronan, I'll start with you. Mm-hmm. What got you the three of you guys to start a theater company. And give us the background. This is your what? You're in your fifth year now?
We're in our fourth year. The three of us met. We had been in, this was back when I used to act, in a production of Hamlet together. And
where was that at?
And it was at Chase Park Theater.
You guys met here in Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you guys are from out of town.
We're all originally from out of town, but we didn't go to college or anything like that. We met on a production of Hamlet and, it's pretty typical. Just, made fast friends and hung out for about a year. And then, I had been writing a play, which ended up being the first play we did, Learning to Fly.
I do remember that.
And Joe and Chris, I had been overhearing them talk about doing a production of Much Ado About Nothing with the company that Joe had been involved with. And I had always been interested, my ears were always peaked when I was hearing them talk about that. And one day we were just talking about both shows and decided to start it up pretty much initially for the sake of doing those two shows. Mm-hmm. We wanted to get it off the ground. So, it was pretty much revolved around getting Learning to Fly and Much Ado About Nothing done. So, yeah, that was basically in a nutshell the start.
And you guys didn't mind the fact that he wrote the first play you did, right?
No, that was I think this might even be true. The sort of how we started the company is, Chris and I were talking about Much Ado and knowing that Ronan was a playwright, I think having a conversation with him said, well, that sounds fantastic. I'd love to help you produce that. Mm-hmm. And so because of those two shows, it just sort of snowballed from there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And now what, now that you've got this theater group going, how do you make decisions on what plays you're going to pick? I mean, there's three of you, right? What are your titles?
I'm the general artistic director.
Okay. And Joe, you're
managing artistic director.
And okay. I'm the producing artistic director. But what it just sort of means is that the three of us, mm-hmm. ordinarily, there will be one artistic director and like a managing director, but mm-hmm. we don't really want to play it that way. There's three of us that all have very specific sort of artistic ideas. And so we have this triumvirate, that we work. And so we get together and fight about shows. And decide what we want to do.
Well, with three, what is that? Does two votes win, or how does it work?
It usually ends up being unanimous after a lot of discussion.
Yeah, it's been pretty harmonious overall. I mean, we usually want all three of us to agree before we make, especially a decision as big as what show we're going to do. We usually
well, you guys are about variety. Tell us some of the plays that you've done in the past, because I think I've caught just about all the plays you guys have done.
I think you have, well, again, Learning to Fly and Much Ado About Nothing and Catch 22, Wedding for Gatto, Landslide, Seascape, She Stoops to Conquer, Closer, we're doing The Weir now.
Missed the Dumbwaiter and
Dumb
the Zoo
Waiters,
Story.
Dumbwaiter and Zoo Story, of course, yeah.
Well, I remember Catch 22 I thought you guys did a terrific job on that, and that's when I tipped off Chris Jones mm-hmm. to come and see you guys, and he did come, and he liked mm-hmm. your show, and now I he's pretty much a regular, isn't he? Or at least the Tribune is a regular.
I've gotten the Tribune a few times. I think Chris has only came to – I think the only one he's come to is Catch 22, but we've had other reviewers from the Trib come, though.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's great. And what's the process? What's the philosophy behind the plays you pick, because the variety is there? Is it because of the ensemble?
I mean, one of the main things we're looking for is, we like ensemble shows as much as possible. Especially shows that have specifically that have roles for people in our ensemble that we think would excel in them or enjoy them, or we'd like working on them together.
Okay, Joe, tell us who else is in the ensemble, because you guys have some talented people.
We sure do. The ensemble has changed and grown a bit, but in The Weir right now, Melanie Keller is fantastic. We're lucky to have her. Who else? We have a great design and production team who's sort of in the ensemble. Anthony Ingram, who's our technical director, who started out as a stage manager with us, is sort of really
and also played
irreplaceable.
Lucky.
Yeah,
the second time.
Yeah, that's right. The second time with Waiting for Gatto, did the Lucky speech. Brandon Bruce, who is also the artistic director of Backstage Theater Company. Did we say
we have? Well, we have Melanie and Aaron Snook is
Aaron
a member.
Snook, yes.
Philip Winston, Vincent Lonergan is a member.
These are top
George
people.
George Ann Cheruse. Yeah, that's absolutely.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. And Chris, tell us about the set design, because you guys do a terrific work. I mean, it's like being in an Irish pub for the Weir set. But that's kind of a trademark you guys also.
Yeah, Melania Lancey is the designer of that set, and she's done several of our productions. She Stoops. And
yeah, She Stoops, the con was tremendous, too, and right. The upstairs stage.
That, exactly. And Catch 22 was her first time working with us, and that was a crazy awesome set. But she just went and looked at a bunch of pictures of Irish pubs, and the whole idea was that with such an intimate space as the downstairs studio, that without you actually sitting at a table and having a beer, to create the illusion that you're actually in the bar and that you feel like you want to know these people and be their friends. So that's the idea of the intimacy, and so the details are key.
Oh yeah, and it was. I've been in a few Irish pubs, and it was very accurate. But Joe, tell us about the accents, because in the Weir, one of the things that I liked, and in general, if you guys do a period piece, usually your accents are excellent.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that can be a lot directly attributable to Phil Timberlake, who's our dialect coach for this show and for our past shows, Closer and She Stoops to Conquer. Yeah, just sort of took us through really specifically what, you know, all the sort of phonetic pronunciations and things about Irish dialects.
It sounded really, really authentic.
Kicked it into us.
Yeah. But I mean, it became out very natural.
Yeah, it's actually, that's sort of funny. The tendency after going through rehearsal and shows of doing that accent all the time, it's sort of hard to stop after the show ends.
Is it really?
You find yourself sort of talking to people about, you know, sort of, I can't turn it off, I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, you got to go to the Irish pubs and then, like, stay
right.
After
right.
The,
yeah, and test it out. See if, right, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. See if it works.
I'm sure it will work. Well, you guys, your next show coming up is what?
Hamlet.
And you are directing?
Yes.
Okay. And this gentleman on the end, Chris, is playing Hamlet.
That's mm-hmm. correct.
I have had the honor of seeing you play Hamlet before. And
yes,
I think it's you are one of the best at doing that role.
Thank you very much.
I mean, and that's saying a lot because that's one of the great roles in theater. So is this like an anniversary thing, bringing it back?
There was a little bit of a thought. I mean, we felt like it would be appropriate, you know, based on this is where we, you know, that's what we met on working on that show together, you know. But, you know, we knew we wanted to do a Shakespeare, you know, this season, and it just sort of came around full circle that we should just go with what.
And who's going to be in that?
Well, it's a huge cast. It's 16 people.
Just a couple of the main.
Chris, you're playing Hamlet.
Right, I'm playing Hamlet, and Joe's playing Horatio.
Joe's Horatio.
Oh, very good, Joe.
And Don Bender is Claudius.
Don Bender, okay.
Meredith Simpson is playing Gertrude. Our ensemble members, Aaron Snook is Laertes. We have Aaron Myers playing Ophelia. Other ensemble members, we have Philip Winston playing Marcellus and the Gravedigger. Ron Cassava's in the cast.
Now, how are you approaching the show? Is it going to be any different than some of the other productions we've seen lately?
We're pretty much like anything else. We're going pretty straightforward with it. It's in a non-specific time period, yet classically themed, if that makes any sense. It's not going to be a modern interpretation at all. In fact, my designers and I, when we talk about it, we're loosely considering it as inventing a period almost. It's not going to be specifically Elizabethan or anything.
Black leather like Chicago Shakespeare.
No, it's going to be, that's the best way I can describe it at this point.
Okay.
But yeah,
it's going to be at Chopin Theater in the upstairs.
Yeah, in the upstairs. That's right. It opens April 21st.
Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. Now tell us why you use Chopin Theater. I like the place. Mm-hmm. And what makes you determine having it in the downstairs theater or the upstairs?
Well, I think we like the downstairs a lot just because of the flexibility of it. I mean, it poses its own problems with those four poles down there. It says it tends to be difficult to work around, but we do like how it's basically just a raw space.
Well, you guys did a great job with it on the Weir. I mean, it's really not in the way at all, and it almost acts like the barrier, the size of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's used to our advantage.
Yeah.
Show, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and in regards to how we, you know, whether we use upstairs or downstairs, it just depends on the size of the show. I mean, you know, if we know we're going to have a big cast. I mean, you can put a lot of people down there, but there's not a lot of room downstairs in the dressing rooms.
Yeah, I saw a couple shows there where some groups had large casts that just didn't work. They were tripping over one another.
Yeah, so we tried it out with She Stoops to Conquer and really liked how that worked. And so our goal is always to do one big, you know, big show per season if we can. So we'd like to use that space for it. And we like Ziggy and Leela and just working there. So
Yeah, and I think it's a great location, and it, and I think it helps the theater group having roots in a location. People get used to where you're at, and I'm sure that can make a difference.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, each of you, what you think is the major accomplishment of the Signal Ensemble. Let's start with Chris.
Okay, let's start with me.
Let me premise it by saying that I see you as one of the finest young actors in Chicago.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And the guy next to you is pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, he has.
Between the two of you.
You're very kind.
But, well, actually, I think that's what I'm most proud of, is that we, when people come and see their shows, they always mention the acting. And so the basic premise behind what we do is to clearly and cleanly give the playwrights play through the actors, using the actors as focal point, giving the play. So there's not a lot of extra trappings on top. So it's really all about the acting. So,
yeah, you don't reinterpret it. You don't do Shakespeare on motorcycles.
Exactly. Kind of exactly. So that's what I'm most proud of, is that we've been able to stick to that, and people have responded well to the acting and the stories that we tell.
Yeah, and the play selection, too. You guys have really good judgment. And Joseph, you are the managing director, and what are you most proud of?
I've got to sort of go along with what Chris said. We've sort of stayed, I don't know, that sounds sort of grandiose to say we've stayed true to our principles or something, but we started out with an idea, and we sort of kept to it, that we're presenting plays the way that we think they were meant to be interpreted, and not I love this quote that if I can pull a quote from, I think Chris Pyatt wrote about us in his review for Catch-22, exceeding expectation doesn't have to mean defying convention. That's what we do really well, and that we've been able to sort of build and maintain this fantastic ensemble.
So you would say you're as an ensemble, you view it as, you want to be traditional to what the playwright intended to do.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, making it really dynamic and exciting and accessible.
Well, I think you're doing a good job of that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I personally think that the work has consistently improved every season, every show.
Yes, I think
so, we keep
too.
Getting better, and I think what I'm most proud of about that is we continue to do it with three artistic heads. You know, I mean, we're both, you know, all three of us are all
very passionate. All right, let me throw it open. The three of you are passionate. Mm-hmm. How do three guys still end up friends and keep the quality up without killing one another? How does that work?
The bar, pretty much. I think
high card wins.
we're pretty fortunate. You know, we just get along pretty well. I mean, that sounds kind of silly, maybe, but you know, there's a lot of things that we've done, like something like She Stoops to Conquer. I knew nothing about it, but you know, that was Chris's suggestion. You know, and I would have never in a million years.
That is an ambitious
come up with production. It, you know, and you know, when I read it, and it initially I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but he recognized it as something that would have been good for the ensemble, and I agree.
So Chris, you pushed that,
right?
Yeah. And so that's why I wanted to jump on top of it, because I thought, okay, I can get into this. You know,
right. Who championed the where?
So
your
that was mine too. That was mine and Joe's.
I wholeheartedly supported. Yeah. Well, we were just talking the other day that we tend to do a lot of shows, I think, that we're terrified of doing, that we don't see how there's any way we could possibly pull it off.
Well, give me an example.
Waiting for Godot. Yeah, Catch-22. Yeah.
Which Waiting for Godot was tremendous.
Yeah,
I hated that play because I've seen it butchered. And again, I think the highest compliment, when you can take a play that a lot of us have seen, just at Stoops the Conqueror was another one that I saw butchered. And then you guys make it work on stage. It really says a lot.
That was another example of that one. Joe was sort of the pusher on that, and he suggested that to me. And I told him, the very first thing I told him was, absolutely not. There's no way we're doing that play. Waiting for God. Yeah, we got into it, though. You know, and ended up.
How did you do it? You did it. You brought it back.
Well, it was one of the best experiences of my life. You know, so you never know. It's good to hear from other people. You know.
Well, sometimes a case has to be. So you really go for things you guys are terrified of. Right. It makes you expand.
That seems to have worked so far.
Well, and you know, and I'm trying to think now. Let me see. Seascape. That was totally different. Mm-hmm. You did win a
an award. Tell us.
Yeah.
About
well, yeah. Our costume designer Laura Dana won a Jeff for that, and then an After Dark award for it, and then both.
That was terrific. The costuming
and yeah. Oh yeah, they were fantastic. That's part of the reason I knew I could do the show. I knew she could do the job. So, and then Georgianne and Aaron Snook were both nominated for playing the lizards.
Well,
in that,
what was amazing is they had. Earlier, there had been a production, another production of the same play. And
what are the chances after 20 years or something?
The last time we were done in Chicago was 1984, and we something both like came up with the idea at the same time. Yeah,
yeah, and it was like cool, came right up. And you know, you think, well, do we not do it? But I was, you know, I was like, it's been this long. There can be two. We're just going to do it.
They both kind of worked, although I think you guys certainly had the edge. I thought particularly the costuming and in that show. The lizard.
She really went
remember,
out,
I,
all
I
out.
Emailed you, Chris, for a for a photo, and you wouldn't do it, and that was so that was, smart of you as marketing because I would have kind of given it away. Mm-hmm. You know, an impact of the show.
Yeah, that was it was always fun to watch the audience reaction when they first popped up those lizards. Yeah,
yeah, that
I knew they were coming, and I was terrified. I'm
right, giant freaking lizards.
Well, what got you guys to do Zoo Story and Dumbwaiter?
I think that's a
who championed that.
Well, we had that. That space allotted for another show that didn't work out because of just some personal problems with various people. But we needed to fill the spot really quickly and with something simple and something
talk about trying good. Tough places. Yeah, with right. Simple.
But we
two
we've
of the great
done,
short stories.
We've
short
done
one X.
You know, we'd done that sort of thing before with Gano and Seascape, and so. Yeah, just one act with two actors, two characters each seemed to be something we could do really well. And I don't know about I'm sure Chris as well, but the Zoo Story terrified me.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly.
And that functioning device of the dumbwaiter and the dumbwaiter terrified me every night.
Which, thank you, work. I played.
Yes, that's
I played
right.
The dumbwaiter.
You played the dumbwaiter.
You played the title,
title role in the dumbwaiter.
And then what got you to pick the closer?
Closer. Yeah. Oh, I'd always liked the play. We were gonna do another. That was another example of us. We were gonna do another show in that slot. And I just for any number of reasons, we just decided we couldn't do it. So, I had already had people sort of attached to that show, like Georgianne and Brandon and Aaron, and so I just kind of threw it out there. I was like, well, let's talk about something else we can do with us, with you guys in it. And I believe it was actually Georgianne actually that said that, you know, mentioned Closer, and I'd always liked the play. And so we just went with it from there.
That was a good choice. I enjoyed that. And what about tell us about Landslide? How did you get these two guys to go along with that?
Well,
you are the author. You're the playwright.
Right. Well, they were incredibly supportive of it at the very beginning. Again, you know, it helped that we started with, you know, with a play of mine, you know, to begin with. And, you know, and I really – they really were supportive because that first draft that they approved it on was not what it ended up being. You know, I wrote
see,
about 10 drafts.
Joe, tell us what you saw in his play.
Well, Ronan is very good, first of all, with dialogue.
Yes, he is.
So it's very smart and it's very crackly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what I latched onto first. When you can just sort of hear, you know, some plays you read and you can't actually see how it's going to be, but his play is definitely just – you can hear how it's going to work. I think that's a sign
of a really strong play. Yeah, I agree. Right. I've read – it jumps off. When you're reading it, it's talking to you.
Right, exactly. And so I think that's what I initially really, really liked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you got nominated for that. That had to be giving you a certain amount of recognition. I mean, all writers wonder if anyone thinks my stuff is any good, right?
Well, yeah, well, it did. You know, and honestly, the thing that was best about it, too, you know, I wrote it, you know, it was a very personal play, and I had written the part for Georgianne for her, too, that was based on my sister, and she was nominated, too. So it was kind of a nice way to just sort of be, you know.
It was quite strong.
It was good.
So now let's get back to the where now. Let's give a little commercial for it. We'll have Chris, you're the director, so give us where and when, and so that people can know.
All right. This is The Weir by Conor McPherson that is showing in the studio at the Chopin Theater through March 24th.
Where's the Chopin Theater?
The Chopin is at Division and Milwaukee in Wicker Park, 1543 West Division. And it runs Thursdays through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 3.
Okay. And give us they can go to your website and get tickets.
Exactly, signalensemble.com.
Okay.
You can purchase tickets there or call 773-347-1350. 773-347-1350.
You know the radio rule.
I heard one of your shows earlier today.
Okay.
You mentioned.
All right. Okay.
Double. I cheated.
Well, it reinforces. And the response has been tremendous, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been great.
And I know it's I think it's on one of our top picks, because all the reviewers have been kind to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have been. Yes,
yeah. They have been.
Now, are you getting an Irish audience at all?
I just go and out on stage, and then, you know, so I don't know what kind of audience we're getting. I did hear an Irish accent in the lobby buying a ticket the other day, and it terrified me. How's my accent? Am I doing?
And some of them will let you know, too, if they got a few cocktails in them.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right.
But you can just pour them again this time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let me ask you something, and this sounds hokey, but it looked like the guys were drinking beer. Is that beer they're drinking?
No.
That's
sure.
Yeah.
Sure, we don't want to destroy the illusion of anything.
I mean, yes.
Well, the reason I asked that is years ago, Brad Armacost did Faith Healer, and he was drinking the Guinness, and he would drink three of them during his monologue, and he did in afternoon, and he did four on a Saturday and a Sunday. And they said he never missed a line. He was fabulous. They say he staggered out by the 8:30 show.
He's my hero.
Yeah. But he
sounds a little terrifying to me.
But,
we did a run through in rehearsal. Tried to with real beer and whiskey
just to see what would happen.
Yeah,
well, not
it
the whiskey.
Fell apart pretty quickly.
Well, the whiskey is the problem.
Yeah, the beer most of you guys you could handle. It's mixing them, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But all right, now let me ask you this: each of you, first as a group, where are you guys heading as a group? Where are you going to be in 5 years?
Hopefully the same, just bigger, brighter, shinier,
better. With your own better. Space, maybe, or is that the plan?
Sure,
maybe.
That'd be great if it's the right kind of space. We really do like doing the once a year sort of huge, grandiose things like She Stoops to Conquer and Hamlet, which you couldn't do in, say, for instance, the space that we're in right now. But the same, only more so, is what I'd like to say.
And would you? Are you guys planning on making this a full time gig for each of you?
Oh well,
is that in the plan?
That would be.
I think that'd be a big yes on all of us.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay, now Rona, where are you going to be in 5 years? Tell me where you plan to be.
Well, I plan to still be here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Doing this, I hope to have at least two more plays written.
Okay, your goal is two more.
Yeah, it takes me a long time, so I'm.
You got working on one now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Great. It just takes me a really long time, so I'm hoping to get a couple more out of the next 5 years. And just I know it's for me it's all just about getting better for me. You know, I want to keep doing diversified shows, and I want to keep getting better at doing them.
You want to keep directing, right?
Directing and writing.
What about acting? I know you got an acting degree. You told me that earlier.
Yeah. Well, I very specifically stopped.
I see the smiles on your two premier actors.
Well, I very specifically stopped because I love acting and I love actors, but I prefer working from the other side of the table on that. And I feel that I have a lot more to offer from that standpoint. For the longest time, I wanted to do all three, act, write, and direct, but I want to be great at it. So figure two.
Okay, we'll two out of three.
Two out of three is enough, right? So, and
right,
I don't
Joe,
leave it
where,
to the other
where
guys.
Do you plan on being?
God, you know, my parents ask me this all the time, and I never know how to answer. Doing this. I don't think that we have any shortage of ideas. We're never going to run out of great ideas anytime soon. And just being able to act on all of those,
so
I think we're going to try to grow exponentially as you know the next few years go by.
Chris, what about you?
I think I'd agree with these guys about for the company. I'd certainly like to just keep doing what we're doing. I think we're on the right track.
I do too. Yeah,
and I think audiences are responding to that, and I think that's really important. So I'd like to for the company be just 5 years more and 5 years better, and that'll.
What about you personally?
I'd like to be 5 years more and 5 years better. But, I think something that's been coming up with us recently is, you know, how do we let the company grow and expand? And so, you know, I'd like to go and work other places and, you know, spread the good word of Signal and then let other people
come
in.
Well, weren't you recently in at Chicago Shakespeare in the 3
years?
Yes,
I understudied. Yeah. Understudied
you,
over there.
You got to go on a few times.
Yes. Yes. That was rather terrifying. But
yeah, that's one of the great places if you're an actor to work.
Right. No, and it was amazing, and I'm very glad I did that.
Can you see your guys as an equity company where you guys can all make a living and
could
similar
be.
To like Writers Theater or Early Steppenwolf?
Well, But the thing about Chicago is that there's so many great non-equity companies.
And
you know, friends of ours have moved to New York or come back or whatever, and they talk about that equity. It's so important to be equity there in order to even do anything. And a lot of actors here will come from New York and then not be able to work because, you know, some of the great companies don't have union contracts. So
that's true.
That's something we're probably going to have to figure out.
Plus, when you, if you do go equity, if you try and compete, you're all of a sudden you're up into a plateau where you're really competing against some pretty tough.
Right.
And if they only have three or four equity contracts, you're not going to get in the show. Or now you got a chance of getting into the shows. But I mean, eventually, if you have enough of your own productions going and you have enough budget, then I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe, are you going to keep acting too? Because
I think
you and Chris really are two of the better actors.
A look at my resume right now is just sort of a long list of signal. Just because we've been so busy and I've been really wanted to sort of invest all my energy into this company. If we're going back to the, you know, 5 years from now thing, I'd love to work with, you know, all the great companies. And there are a plethora of them in Chicago.
Well, and you guys got to have a lot of IOUs out because you guys have been bringing in a lot of the top actors in town in your production. So I don't know if that reciprocates at all, but it
there's a lot of great people out there.
And the casting you guys have done. I thought was super. Tell us about the young lady. I think she is she is so super.
Melanie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is she
fantastic.
The only female you have in your
have Georgiane Cherous.
Okay.
Stephanie Eamon is our production stage manager. Okay. So we do have three. So we only have two female members in the acting ensemble, but we have one on the tech side too. Melanie's been with us since the beginning. She played Beatrice in Much Ado About Nothing, and we fell in love with her there. And ever since, we always make sure we've got something for her because we love putting her on stage.
Yeah, well, she certainly is one of the best. Mm-hmm. So tell us now once more on the show, because mm-hmm. we're just about out of time. I want to get one more plug in the show because The Ware is a tremendous night of theater. The warmth that the show conveys and the Irish storytelling. I mean, it's like being in a pub in Ireland.
Yeah, that's the idea.
And I had a lady with me who I generally don't take to Irish plays because she really doesn't like them. And if it isn't a musical, and she just absolutely loved it. She was telling all her friends about it. So that's a real compliment.
Right. The play, even though it sort of consists of a series of monologues and the sort of the framework around that, it's almost sort of more than the sum of its parts. You know, all the everything adds
it's
up.
It's a friendship play, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And absolutely. That's the final note you left on, I think. I keep seeing in things written about it that it casts a spell, and I think that's one of the best ways to put it. At least that's how it should be. It should be sort of magical.
Well, Chris, you should be congratulated for your directorial debut.
Thank you very much.
And,
very proud.
Of course, it helps having a great script and having a top cast, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Certainly. I could not ask for a better cast nor a better script, really.
Well, let's hope the Jeff Committee recommended it, right?
yes, they did.
And they've been obviously they'll all come out to see the play, and you know they have pretty good judgment on who they pick for awards. And your guys are in the fight, and that's half the battle. And the next one coming up is
Hamlet.
Hamlet. When is that going to open?
That opens on April 21st on the main stage of the Chopin.
Mm-hmm. At the main stage.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, we're looking forward to that. Right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Folks, remember, The Ware is definitely worth seeing. And thank you for listening. Go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to another esculent episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of March 12th, 2007.
Hey,
yes, it is one of the most famous stage cries that have been echoed in theaters for decades, and now the Arlington Heights Metropolis Performing Arts Center is, of course, sponsoring a Stella yelling contest to kick off its new production of the Tennessee Williams' most famous play, A Streetcar Named Desire. The contest is open for guys and gals 21 and over to throw on a pair of jeans, their coolest muscle tee, and slick back their hair, and of course, crumble to their knees yelling out,
"Hey, Stella!"
Just like Marlon Brando. The competition will kick into gear on Wednesday, March 21st at about 6:30. The best yell will win 2 round-trip airline tickets to anywhere in the United States and, of course, a 6-month supply of Stella Artois beer. And also 4 free tickets to see A Streetcar Named Desire at the Metropolis. For more information to find out your opportunity to see if you are the best Stella yeller, click on over to Talk Theater in Chicago's Theater News section and find out some more details. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that the Chicago production of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee will have a special For Mature Audiences Only performance this Wednesday, March 14th. The cast will let loose the forbidden material that is not meant for the standard audiences, hence the Mature Audiences Only title. This will be the 3rd time that the Chicago company has had these special performances, and the other 2 sold out quite quickly. So if you haven't received your tickets yet, you need to get on over to the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee this Wednesday night and see if you can spell some hilariously naughty words. Steppenwolf Theater has announced their 2007-2008 subscription season, and this season will of course include the newest ensemble members, which were announced a few weeks ago. First off for Steppenwolf's season opening on September 13th is The Crucible. Of course, the famous play by Arthur Miller. This one will be directed by Anna D. Shapiro, and of course is a classic play done by a classic theater company, so this one is definitely not to miss. After that will be Good Boys and True. That will open on December 6th. After that, on February 28th, will be Carter's Way. And then following that will be Dead Man's Cell Phone, another play by Sarah Rule. That will, of course, will be opening on March 27th. And then closing out the season will be Superior Donuts by ensemble member Tracy Letts. That show will, of course, be opening on June 19th of 2008. And these shows you do not want to miss. So make sure you subscribe to Steppenwolf Season if you don't already. The Tribune stage ticker is reporting that Wicked is set to be here for at least 1 more year. That's right, the show has been doing so well that it's already slated to stay on at least to 2008. However, there are some cast changes that will be expected. 3 very, very loved Chicago cast members are set to take a break from the production this spring. Those cast members are, of course, Rondi Reed, Gene Wygent, and Heidi Kettenring. Now, all 3 of them did open the production here in Chicago, and even though it is sad to see them take a short break, it is certainly well-deserved. Producer David Stone is saying all 3 members may likely come back here in the short future, but until then, some more changes are going to be made to the Chicago production of Wicked, which is, of course, growing every day. For more information, stay tuned to the Talk Theater in Chicago Theater News section. The Actors Workshop Theater here in Chicago is set to open the groundbreaking production of Equus this Friday, March 16th. But the word on the street is that star Peter Oilo is dynamic as the passionate teen who blinds 6 horses into a fit of rage. This show is, of course, an intense and moving production. The show is directed by Theater in Chicago's dear friend Joe Stead, who you may have heard on past interviews here at Talk Theater in Chicago. We'll now see what he can do with a whole play of his own. For more information, click on over to actorsworkshop.org. Again, that's www.actorsworkshop.org. Well, thank you very much for listening to this esculent episode of the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. We have come to the end of the news, but before we let you go, it's time for your Shakespeare Quote of the Week. The following quote comes from Richard III, Act 5, Scene 3. Be not afraid of shadows. Well, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode, ready to stick in your ear. So, until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.
You are listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago Review Podcast, The Weir, by Connor McPherson, directed by Christopher Prentice and produced by Signal Ensemble Theater. at the Chopin Theater. Review by Tom Williams. Signal Ensemble Theater is emerging as one of the most talented theater groups in Chicago, with their increasing body of outstanding work. Ronan Mara, Christopher Prentice, and Joseph Stearns have the discipline, the courage, and the excellent taste to mount a fine mixture of stage-worthy plays, with an emphasis on ensemble vehicles that both entertain and impress. Their latest, The Weir, is a beautifully written Irish drama by Connor McPherson that Christopher Prentice directs, and it features some of the finest ensemble performances I have seen on stage in quite a while. Set in a pub, with terrific set design by Mullaney Lancy, in contemporary rural Ireland, The Weir is an emerging drama that features several old-style Irish ghost stories in a setting where friendship and a sense of community reign. This is a brilliant production of a fantastic play with five outstanding performances that unfold as one mesmerizing night at the theater. This is one of the finest plays of the year. Signal Ensemble is emerging as a must-see group. The Weir finds locals at Brendan's Pub, Brendan played by Joseph Stearns, where Jack, played by Ted Haller, and Jim, played by Vincent P. Mahler, all three bachelors, are visiting and pouring down a few pints and several short ones. Irish wit and humor deftly presented here charms us as we quickly like these warm and honest simple country folks. McPherson slowly unfolds the atmosphere necessary for the fantastically vivid ghost stories to follow when Finbar, a married man, in a charismatic turn by John Zinn, brings a woman from Dublin to the pub. Finbar has rented a house to Valerie, played by the stunning Melanie Keller. As the drinks flow, the bachelors swap ghost stories to impress Valerie. These stories intoxicate us with their compact and chilling detail, told so passionately by the fine cast. Both haunting and funny, the eerie play demonstrates the transcendent quality of rural communities. It emphasizes our basic need for acceptance. The stories bind these folks forever together. When Valerie tells her horrible story, the empathy of the four villagers becomes a binding element that gives this work its humanity and heart. What comes across so well in McPherson's great writing is the genuine warmth exuded from the fine actors. This play will make you feel good to be a part of the human race as you share the basic goodness of people. We feel their pain, their loneliness, and their desire for acceptance. Will they poke fun at each other, as only the Irish do? John Zinn and Ted Haller anchor this amazing show, and for $15, you'll not find a finer night at the theater. Credit dialect coach Phil Timberlake for the lusciously rich yet understandable Irish brogues sported by this talented cast. The Weir reminded me of my short time in Ireland, and who doesn't like a thrilling Irish ghost story? I give this a highly recommended rating. The Weir, directed by Christopher Prentice and produced by Signal Ensemble Theatre at Chopin Theatre, located at 1543 West Division in downtown Chicago, Illinois. Now running through March 24th. For tickets and more information, call 773-347-1350.
Thank you very much for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Signal Ensemble for giving us the honor of interviewing them this week. I would also like to thank Mark Meyer and Tom Williams. Without them, this show would not be possible. And also, I would like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we are here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So until next time, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you that theater's happening. Don't miss it.